There's Chuck Norris. This was Paul, you know, and anyway, accept the invitation, and then Robert says the pledge, and they're looking at this flag, and I'm looking back there. And we always kind of face that direction, so I'm the only one that faces.
No, Christine and I were with you.
Hey, where are you?
We were.
Yeah, we had a good time.
All right.
So for the audience, that's what we have this flag up here. Yes.
What's funny that we that happened? We faced this.
Yeah.
And they'll see us in plan. You see the turn.
Oh.
Ruth, audio check, Ruth.
It used to be there was like a cupboard right here that stood that high.
Yeah.
And for me to do that, I had to step out of the way and off the edge. I'm just going to look right there. There's about 30 of them back there. I can look at.
Who's, is that you, Paul?
No.
Who's R?
Ruth.
The work for now.
What's your?
Try it again, Mr. Bergenkamp.
Ruth, audio check.
Yeah, if you've got a number, I thought I had a text number, but I don't.
Well, I think we've started.
Yeah, we started. Yeah.
Well, good afternoon, everyone. I want to welcome you, those of you online and those of you here in the audience. I want to welcome you to this Los Angeles County Board of County Commissioners work session. Today is April 1st, and it is now 3:15. I'm going to call this work session to order. Please rise with us for an invocation given by Commissioner Lucero, followed by the Pledge of Allegiance by Commissioner Tony Hutz.
God, we thank you for all you have done and all you have continue to do. Help us to approach this time with hearts full of gratitude and joy. Amen.
Amen. Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you. Roll call, Mr. Dornkamp.
Commissioner Cerro.
Yes.
Commissioner Hess.
Yes.
Commissioner Lopez.
Yes, thank you. Approval of the agenda. Do we have any changes to the agenda?
No changes, Commissioner.
Thank you, sir. I will entertain a motion to approve the agenda.
So approved.
Second the motion.
Commissioner Hess?
Yes.
Commissioner Lucero?
Yes.
Commissioner Lopez?
Yes, thank you. And it is with great honor that we want to welcome today the Emerging Campus representatives. We have with us today the Executive Director, Ms. Christine Loudon. So, and then we'll go through introductions, but welcome again. And we really appreciate the opportunity to communicate, to connect, and to see how the two entities can work together for the economic impact and development of our city, county, and the region. So welcome.
Thank you, Commissioner. Thank you for your time today. Christine Loudon, Director of the Emerging Campus, my colleague, is joining me today. Do you mind being introduced?
So my name is Josh Kupik. I'm the business analyst, the business advisor for the Emerging Campus.
And I'm going to apologize. Your name again, sir?
It's Joseph.
Joseph, there we go. Okay.
Is your mic off?
Oh,
might have to put it on so they can hear you up there.
Yes.
Sounds pretty good. Well, welcome both of you. And right behind you, we have another representative from the college. So welcome, Ms. Perry, again. And these work sessions, we'd like to make an interactive. So as you go through the process, we may have a question clarification. So with your permission, we're going to just yield the floor to you and go through the process and provide us with any updates and information that would be pertinent for this particular collaborative partnership.
We're thinking exactly the same way. I wanted to give you a quick overview of what we have been up to the past several months, the progress that we've made, clarify our mission and our activities better for you, and then kind of open up the discussion about economic development, what the expectations are, and the vision that the commissioners have, so that we are aware we can be aligned, not just with the county's agenda, but also what's going on in the city, so that we can have a real comprehensive view of and focused initiative towards economic development. So our first slide, Mr. Dornkamp. But you also have this commission's
yes.
First slide. So essentially, what Emergent Campus has three what we call ventures. First is our business campus. So that's the actual building at 612 Park Street, where we are a business incubator. We have co-working space. But in addition, we also reach out and work with the Chamber of Commerce to support businesses. We reach out to businesses directly and offer support that they might need, such as marketing or market research or maybe just some new contacts. So everything that we do everything that we can to foster business there at the campus and outside of the campus. In addition, we put on community events where we talk about funding that is available to entrepreneurs and give people help in setting up a business. So that encompasses all of our business venture. The second major venture that we have is upskilling. Here, our main partner is Trinidad State College, providing all classes that they do and the degrees, working with the schools to let them know about all the concurrent enrollment opportunities at the college, promoting internships that connects our students with our businesses for learning that can happen in the job. And then working with our work center and the adult learning center at the college to help those adults in our community who are looking for new opportunities and ways to upskill and have a better career. And then our final venture is convening, which is kind of what we're doing here today. Trying to have an overview of what are the important things that we need to accomplish as a community, city, county, to become more economically rich and resilient, and to, when possible, necessary, try to bring these partners to the table so that progress can be made. So those are the main functions of what Emerging Campus does, and that's what Yosha and I are focused on every day.
Well, so thank you. The I think my have you had an opportunity to connect with OEdit? The okay, very good. That is a great opportunity. I think they have accessibility too through the SBAs of throughout the entire region, the state, to make connectivities. One of the meetings I was at toward the end of 2024. I asked the representative from OEdit to list Las Animas County as open for business, as we were promoting the airport. And I took the opportunity, as the county has done so much work at the local airport. And if you have not seen that facility, okay, incredible. We have opportunities, and we have an operator that is going expanding businesses, increasing capacity, and then, of course, marketing, not only the county, but the services. So this representative from OEdit was very interested, and I'm hoping they're going to take the invitation to connect with you, to connect with us, and begin to create funnel investments to Las Animas County. And then, of course, I had an opportunity to promote just-in-time training through Trinidad State. Back in the day, you know, vocational training happened through which you still have the vocational training specialty. If you need a welder, come to Trinidad State. If you need an electrician, you can do that. So I hope that the connectivity, so connect, continue to invite them to visit the area, because what a what an opportunity through that part of the state. And we have a former county commissioner. What is her name? She's a former county commissioner that we had an opportunity to work with, San Miguel County. She went to be anyhow. She's part of the housing initiatives, but also not only for rural counties, but for all counties. And I'm gonna think of that name, and I'm gonna give you that name because I actually have that. But nonetheless, she was appointed by the governor a couple of years ago.
Oh, Holly.
We'll give you a name. Now that's on us. But nonetheless, OEDIT, it is a very, very, very important.
But you also currently face or identifying what would be the capacities. We start with the city and then we can collaborate with the county. What would be a good fit for business? An example was when that petroleum ethanol business wanted to come to Trinidad, that was a complete misfit. And that should have been a red flag after the second meeting and not having months of discussions because it didn't fit at the current stage where Trinidad is. So really to understand what we can offer and what we need, and to know right away to say, this is okay, this is not okay, because we are in a very specific situation where we can take in just the right kind of fit and build from there. Maybe it's better to shoot a little lower, but then look at the good ones that we can grow here.
Sure.
To try to attack something too big that would want tax cuts or other kind of incentives that we are not able to afford, don't have the workforce yet developed or something like that.
Sure.
So we slowly built up to something bigger. So really to create a plan, what would be good fits, what we can do and what we can take in.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, and the name is Hillary Cooper.
Yes.
The name is, she, former county commissioner from San Miguel County. It is now working with OEDIT and good friend of Los Angeles County. So don't tell him, they almost didn't remember your name, but which I almost didn't. But nonetheless, great opportunity. But Let me also explain to you, Joseph, the airport, and I want Mr. Dorian Camp or any of my fellow commissioners to highlight also and emphasize what we're doing at the airport. We are doing a feasibility study, which is about done, and it's approved by the FAA to actually develop an industrial park.
Well, we saw the report that the provided to you all a couple weeks ago. Evan's been incredibly busy.
Yes, yes, he has. And so for that, we have a few back of a house yet to do things. We have a water line that we are looking into. We have the researching to put the septic system and then the basic infrastructure to support what you're saying, the next step.
You can better understand your project and help you really clarify the type of ideal fits that you could want to in that.
Sure.
That would be great.
Sure.
We are now seeing that the major problem that's happening here is there are people who care, there are people who are smart, willing to work hard and doing their part, but the communication between those actors of positive movement doesn't exist. So how to connect all those? We are in a position that we are lucky enough to be able to talk with those different actors because we are not pulled down by any type of structure like that. So we are now seeing all of those small pieces that are popping up and trying to connect them in a way correctly with you commissioners and with your project would be like a major beneficiary, major factor tying all of this together.
Yeah.
The there is another opportunity that we have had conversations around, and that is the energy that you mentioned early on. But we have so much geothermal potential here in this part of that.
Mr. Duncan, would you please forward the slides to And five, six. Yeah, this is getting more to kind of the discussion that we really want to have today, in terms of what are the opportunities we need to be looking for, what types of businesses do we need to be bringing in, what kind of skills do we need to be developing within our community, and what's really going to be the
And for the information of the public, at this board, a few months back, we approved a solar project that encompassed between two counties about 100,000 acres. Am I correct, Mr. Dorenkamp?
Yeah. I think all together it's like 140,000 with all of it.
This is wind energy, and we have, when it comes to energy, one of the barriers are going to be the transportation methods. We can produce it, but right now there is such a conglomerate of autonomy between the co-ops. They have to work with each other. And even if there was an opportunity to do geothermal and natural power, as well as perhaps solar or wind in the west part of the county, that becomes the challenge. Who's going to transport that from point A to point B? But those are going to be the conversations that we need to have. Yep.
And have you spoken to some power companies about providing?
I have, yes. What we need to do is, a while back, we had an opportunity to, right here on the top of this building, we have a photovoltaic 25 kW, I believe, capacity to produce power, solar power. But the co-ops have so many stringent regulations that not even the powers at the state government want to jump in there. So we may need to have our state representative and or our state senator or together introduce legislation for these co-ops to, and I don't know, they can't even do that. That is a question that we have for them is, can we ask them, allow us to produce more, but then what is kind of the exchange for that? I know we attempted, you know, our conversation was when this board began the conversation, we wanted to produce, we had the capacity to produce 50 or 100 kilowatts right here.
The return on investment was best at 50 kilowatt. We could have went up to 100, but the return on investment was best at 50, but as Commissioner pointed out, ARPA's bylaws only allow up to 24.9, it had to be under 25 kW. Otherwise, we were selling them the electricity produced at wholesale and had to buy everything back at retail. It wasn't just what was above the 25 kW. It was everything. And that's the same with San Isabel out of the fairgrounds. We've checked into that a little bit about the solar arrays. We decided to try and put on the event center and also the RV park and kicking those ideas around. And San Isabel also has that same limit. So that's the 25 kW.
In the region where you have 300 plus some of this, where
sure.
The whole town is 10 houses.
But you also have to remember that there are monopolies, that there are, and I'm going to call them that because that's what they are. The idea here is that if you have a big producer, like the 140,000 acres that we have approved, how many towers are going to be there? Well, that operator has to work with the co-op or with the transmission line to get the power from A to B. Now, the idea in the conversation that we had a couple of weeks ago, Ms. Loudon, you and I, and we were at that gathering, it is nuclear power, which I've been doing a lot of research on. And that's a great opportunity because that the footprint is a whole lot smaller and the capacity to produce energy is much greater. And yeah. Perhaps
there's a different transmission.
That is correct.
And now the industries are anyway focusing that the nuclear power plant would be adjacent to a heavy consumer. So from some manufacturing plants to data centers to basically those biggest drainage companies want to find places where they can create a
sure.
plant and a production plant and a nuclear plant plus some additional what they need workforce, they need water, whatever that would be. But
sure.
those are the builds of the future, modular small builds where somebody can say, please come. We have the three from the bottom.
Yeah.
Plant. So we also were talking to some with the gentleman.
And that plays in nicely with Cadet State College's future plans and their Department of Labor grant for advanced manufacturing. And also with a nuclear facility here, we're bringing in different skills and knowledge base that isn't necessarily here, but then can spread to our community.
And in that, you're mainly talking about that level one, level two servicing. Every plant like that, the majority of workers will have a PhD, but the majority of workers are going to service certain parts of the plant. And those are really stable good jobs, the way the nuclear reactors are the future.
How do we together, because, you know, that's economics 101. The point of equilibrium for many investor is going to be that the supply meets demand and they both kind of meet half and half. The population, if we had a co-op that would be willing to work, be a little open to the conversation, which I personally have not outside of a board member here and a board member there. So we're kind of priming the pump. But the idea here is that if we started with something smaller, county and community together, I mean, the benefit is we have, I believe, it's my understanding, we have the highest per kilowatt cost anywhere in the United States of America. And then that is, and I read, and I hope I stand to be corrected because I hope I'm wrong, but that's what we read. Okay, so, you know, from that perspective, we have opportunities, and I can assure you that OERIT probably has small investors that have asked and inquired about ABCD. That's why the connectivity to them is so important. You know, we have a market for, it doesn't have to be the greatest, biggest plant. I mean, if we begin small, I mean, you have Albuquerque and Denver, right? We are about 190 miles from each one of those two big cities, and they consume a lot of energy.
With this meeting, are we going to identify possible challenges to what we're trying to move forward with?
I think we should put everything on the
table. Well, let me give you one. So the governor is pushing 2040, and I don't know if you're aware of that, but he's trying to put the kibosh on our nuclear development, and in Pueblo, they're the champion behind that. Action Colorado, which I'm vice chair of, we've just signed on to a letter with 63 other entities saying we support all energy development and we oppose his 2040 initiative. This would be a great opportunity for Emerging Campus to list all the ideas of why this is important to have this and the job creation and that sort of thing. But you can go to Action Colorado's website. You can pull that up. And if you want to sign on to the letter, that would be a great opportunity to do so.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So in essence, what the governor is doing, we had initiative 2050. He's trying to reduce that by 10 years to attain and acquire zero, basically, footprint of emissions, which puts a lot of responsibility on any and all Coloradans. The cost of energy is going to increase, then we are losing 10 years. So I think Action Colorado, which Commissioner Haas is a member of, the report that they put out is, let's do this reasonably and let's do it carefully, not hurriedly, and because of policy that is good for just only a few. But that is great. Now, what's going to happen as the next administration, both at the state level? Well, if we have it in both statute and constitution, which the constitution won't happen, but the statute will mandate counties and cities to continue that 2040 initiative, which is accelerated. And to me, that's to us, it's a careless step in the wrong direction.
It's a late bill, and it's going to have huge fiscal notes. So I'm hoping that common sense will pay off, but who knows? You know, we're trying to eliminate it before it ever gets a title, a bill title. But it hasn't got one yet. But within a week or two, we'll know.
So, for us, new to the emergent campus, when you talk about upskilling, students from high school and students from the college are participating in this particular project. And how many industries do you have? Are you collaborating with within the campus?
How many industries?
Yes.
Well, in the only industry right now that's collaborating directly in the campus is tech. We have an engineer, an AI machine learning startup, and a web AI app developer. So, and obviously we can't have retail or any kind of manufacturing there. But we definitely support all aspects of business, but the foundational tenet of Emerging Campus was to promote tech skills and tech businesses. That is our charter. However, I am not limited. We are not limited to that.
If we look at it a little less as a box, tech adjacent can be almost anything. Because currently, if you want whatever you want to run, there are very few industries where technology is not really penetrating and deep to the core and changing the fundamentals of how something is being run. The next company that hopefully is going to come in a month with the first employee is going to be Second 61. It's a FAA call center and data management center. And we hope that we're going to scale them in the next year to 15 employees. It's going to start level 0 to level 1. The start is not that the base basic, but you get all the benefits and all education with the big data. So basically, whoever would go and work for them within 3 years instead of going to a college, you acquire or a bachelor degree or associate degree or all the certificates needed to have like a proper education. Work experience, and by that time, also a hourly rate of about $25. So that's like a really stable for company that's we have the confirmation should start in a few weeks. And we're going to build on that. And we hope to get more of those kind of companies that we could scale in the next 5 years to 25 employees. So a small company with 25 to 50 employees that's quite resilient to shocks in the economy. And if you can manage to build up a few of those, that would radically transform Trinidad and Los Angeles as it currently is. Then you would have a few small hubs of innovation. And the other one that's now coming is advanced manufacturing. So we are not yet really clear. One of the partners that works with the college is Verotouch. They are a 3D printing company for houses. So they printed the first houses in Colorado. So they're from Salida.
They're 3D printing company.
Well,
yeah. It's quite extraordinary technology. I welcome you to have a look at their website. They are an active partner with Trinidad State College in the same initiative.
Well, you know,
will be guiding, help guide the curriculum to train workers in this new technologies.
And to step back, what we would like to do, not just high school towards college, but since Trinidad has certain problems with absolute and relative poverty, I mean, there's a big number of children who are impacted. If we can pick them up in middle school, and what we started introducing to after-school robotics classes and cybersecurity classes, so maybe we can give them a glimpse of hope when they're 10, 11, 12, and maybe that can shift the way they perceive the world, the way they interact with reality, because there are some role models who are going to give them hope and encourage them and help them figure out what they want to do with life. So ideally, we would create a pipeline, middle school, high school, college, and keep as much as possible locally. From tech to advanced manufacturing, also vocational education. So we are really seeing all those holes that would need to be filled and trying our best to do it.
It's looking at really our elementary schools. Right now, we're at the middle school level, just trying to get awareness and exposure to some tech skills that then we can grow on in high school and advance to Trinidad State College. Or even if they don't end up going to college, you can get a certificate one semester from Trinidad State College and get into a decent paying entry-level job. But if there's no awareness within the school system of what these opportunities are, it's very hard to change someone's life. We've been in touch with all 10 school districts within Los Angeles and Huerfano counties to try to activate new opportunities.
Well, and here is an idea, Mr. Dorenkamp. You might, there was, or anybody, there was an initiative that was voted by the by Coloradans. It came as a ballot initiative. I think I'm 1, 2, 3 for affordable housing that actually passed. And now I believe that's one of the OERED programs. As you're talking about this 3D printing housing in Salida, through the construction trade programs that Trinidad State has had, can you imagine students now working with 3D printing, doing projects that are now hands-on? It would only take one or two of these projects to attract the investors of what is happening. And if I were a teen, I might want to go through this program because of the 3D printing. But I know the initiative passed and the voters approved a certain amount of money to build, at that time, the word was affordable housing. And I'm gonna look into that and I'll respond back to you to see exactly what initiative that was. But I think there could be money someplace to get this program even at a greater capacity. I know the AG's office provided some funding for the current construction trades program that the college might still have. But this could be the second phase of where you're at.
And that construction program is still going on at Trinidad State. And also Trinidad High School has had a large investment from an OCS grant to beef up their construction pathway within the high school. So I visited their open house a few weeks ago where they're promoting their construction skills and building skills. And then I also want to put in like CAD, drawing skills, conceptualizing 3D printing, which can happen at the college through the makerspace. There's already 3D printers there. So there's still a lot to be built out, but we've got some good anchor points within our community.
And while all that is being built out, we're gonna heavily focus it on every step of development to expose children to soft skills like education,
building,
critical thinking. So that is going to be integrated in the type of assignments and case studies they're going to be doing, so that they get a little bit that feel, even if it's a simple how to walk up to somebody and shake their hand like a grown-up and say hi as a normal grown-up individual. Just the basics. Should we cover as much as we can?
So two initiatives that we have going on. I've mentioned one, which are the internship programs, which we would want to have every school district participate in. And I believe the importance of that is, like Joseph just said, exposing our users to real-world environments where they need to be professional, they need to be able to communicate, be responsible, show up on time, and have a certain level of accountability and responsibility. But that also helps that student and their family probably interact with a business perhaps that they wouldn't have otherwise. So we're getting some cross communication within our community. And it's exposing businesses to new potential talent that they may not have gotten before. So I see it as one good opportunity for students to develop those soft skills, and three, as a way of activating our community, our parent community, and the business community, and seeing what new potential can happen just from those interactions. Now, at the college level, we want to initiate business case studies with our college business students. They will reach out to businesses and do case studies for a specific targeted help for that particular business. So again, we're getting our college students interacting with the businesses, perhaps on a level where it's really going to help impact them, and also give our students real world experience. So those are two student initiatives on the high school and the college level that will be activating next school year.
You had mentioned that you had reached out to however many school districts there are between the two counties. What's the reception been like?
Some schools have been non-responsive. Some have been mildly receptive, and some have actively participated. So it's run the gamut. And well, we visited the Kim High School in September. Well, it's quite far for those students to have an active internship program where they're interacting with businesses here in the county seat. They were receptive to our message that our students need to become computer savvy, computer literate, and all of their sophomore class, which is the largest part of their whole high school with seven students, have enrolled in concurrent enrollment for basic computing skills at the college.
Wow.
And we would hope that every school would take up that opportunity and see the importance of it. And it's a matter, and it's also a learning curve on my part of who is the right person to talk to. How do you get influenced at school, whether it's the superintendent or the principal or a teacher? So I'm still learning the best way to get messages across.
And I think as concurrent enrollment continues to grow at the college, this is one of their options, especially for the local schools.
Yes.
To include Gold Academy. They have quite a, I don't know how many students they have, but they have over 140 or somewhere around there. So concurrent enrollment is opening up the opportunity for them to taste college, if you will, but begin to look at, am I going to go through the academic pathway or vocational? Is that good for me? Or like, and this conversation is powerful because it's giving students the pathway to identify what is it that I want to do. And a PhD program is no more than just a piece of paper, whereas a good skill, a good computer operator can actually probably earn as much or more than. And that's where the importance is.
Yes.
I'd be interested in this 3D printing. We're going to do some research of what's happening in Salida. Because right now at the county, at the state level, we are looking at modular housing. It has become such a one of the key components of providing housing for Coloradans. We have a couple of manufacturers in the state, but if this 3D printing is comparable, and perhaps a little more, it's probably concrete, right? I mean, it is exciting to hear this because now we have, and I have heard, never seen it. I'm interested in seeing how the whole thing works.
Well, we also have another individual in the community who's actually doing almost the opposite, using concrete, but it's called air paint, where air is mixed into the concrete mixture and is formed into forms. And then those bricks are used to create structures.
Wow.
So it's not tech, but it is quite quick, simple, and affordable. This person has been permitted to build residences in the city of Trinidad, which I believe is the first aircrete type home to be permitted in the United States. So I do believe there's a number of alternative building methods that we could pursue, maybe from a hub, a regional hub, for these alternative building methods.
What's the future? Talk about 2040 green energy solutions. To look into passive housing education. So something of the criteria that need to be left for passive housing. And then there is now a new cross between the industry, healthy passive housing. So pre-made panels out of straw bale and things like that. So there is a interest for like a company. And then they basically they are open source, they share all of their know-how how they are building it. They have modular 1,000 square foot house delivered. You just need a slab, put it on, and it's $130,000 for 1,000 square foot with the kitchen, with plumbing, with every side. And it has the best rated energy efficiency you can reach. So it may be, it's not even that expensive to start with, but in the long run, the type of savings that you have and the amount of exposure to the grid, how much you also have the playing with the grid of the and the energy that goes through the whole community. You're just taking, you're leaving more energy in the grid so that maybe other industries can use it in the houses. So I'm not trying to find the right words, but like that. So there are options. There are plenty of options if we would put our heads together and create the look at what could be the best solutions for the
situation. That the industrial space at the airport could be a great place for this industry to be located.
And with the college, it's such a gift to have a firm like the college in our midst, where basically all of that can be bootstrapped through the college because they already have infrastructure, they have teachers, if not, they can attract the right kind of personnel. So a lot of building blocks are here, we just need to figure out how to put them together.
And with the ports to planes, new interstate coming, is it in 10 years, 8 years?
Let's say 10.
We need to be prepared for when that opportunity arrives. We need to have commerce, warehousing, transportation, and products that are going to go. And we need to start now.
And with that, we're talking about these visionary products. We have a product right here in Los Angeles County, and you know your family produces them. Can we capitalize on that? Can we market our beef and wholesale that beef from right here directly? And that could be something that could be out there at the industrial park. Water might be a source of contention because it takes a lot of water to actually, you know, do that with our beef. But that is what I'm more concerned about. It's here, and we produce it. Why let it leave our county? $42 million mm-hmm. of revenue lost, and that's probably doubled because of the beef prices that have happened here recently. Why not keep those dollars circulating in our county?
I love that idea.
So that goes together. What we are looking at, what are the competitive advantages that we already have, and what are the things that we can attract? And that's exactly what the management. We need to come together because we are not currently figuring things out and putting those puzzle pieces together. This is great. Oh yeah, this and it makes so much sense. But
We have some ideas, but we don't know what you're thinking. It's not going in two separate directions.
And I tell you, Mr. Dorenkamp, I know we are pretty close to saying that we're ready to proceed with industrial park. I mean, we've
been approved. The FAA approved it being a non-aeronautical usage, I believe is how their terminology is. So it's in place, and as Commissioner alluded to, we've got one more entity that's part of the waterline agreement that either needs to give us a thumbs up or the thumbs down. One entity of the two has given us a thumbs up. We're waiting on a response from the other one, and then we can actually charge a second water line that will be feeding that industrial park. Then we get back to the septic systems, but there's commercial grade septic systems that aren't too awful expensive to put in place. But back to your point, I guess that would be something we would need to probably talk to the city about also. What in the community would benefit not only the county, but the city, TSC, and there could be some territorial wishes ahead of others. We try to look past that, especially like in the Spanish Mixado Coalition, where there's all the entities in Huerfano County and all the communities, all of them here in Los Angeles County, we're all trying to come together to try to decide what project to do first. And I can see that as something here that may be kind of a stumbling block. I'm not going to say a stumbling block, but something that might cause some consternation between competing parties.
Something I would like to bring up. So we have had discussions with the city to represent them on new economic development initiatives that increase. So like whoever reaches out to the city, emerging campus would be fielding those calls, kind of pre-screening, like Yosha said, deciding if it's a good fit, and if so, giving a white glove handoff rather than kind of being bumped around and various departments, so that we do have a bigger chance of success, that we know who to bring to the table to have an intelligent discussion to move something forward. We would like to ask the same of the county, and we would then like to ask, how can we all work together? And there are going to be issues where not everyone sees eye to eye, but if no one's talking, we can't ever move beyond that.
No, and I agree. I don't want to speak for the commissioners at all, but and I think that if it's a benefit to Trinidad, obviously it's going to be a benefit to Los Angeles County. But there are some other issues out there that are going to be coming to the forefront that could possibly cause lines in the sand to be drawn on everything. I hate to expand it that far, but I think. We come to, I'll be blunt, to the homeless, and what we're going to do with the homeless. I mean, that there's a lot of talk out there, and I hope it doesn't fall into where it's a, push here and a push there, and we can all get along and come up with something sensible that works for everybody, including economic development, where it doesn't, we don't start getting territorial. Because I experienced that years ago with commissioners and city council folks, and it doesn't go anywhere but down for everybody.
We can also be very selective. We have to be very selective for the first few months where we can get everybody. Because if we have a few small wins, every one after that is going to be easy. So probably the wild cards should be left for down the road, and to start maybe with some that everybody agrees would be beneficial, because I would assume there are certain things that we could rally everybody. There are certain things where for sure lines are going to be drawn. I want this, I want that, I don't agree with that. I would be optimistic that we can find at least some to start And then once we all face the common goal, the common enemy, or the common challenge opportunity, maybe then it's easier to move forward also over the lines from one. And we also are building really good relationships with the city of Breton. They are very open to collaboration. Their business economic development department, the city manager. So it's just trying to see with Walsingham, just trying to see how all of that can fit together from a more helicopter type view. And maybe if we zoom out far enough, we can find those few bits and pieces where everybody has nothing to say against them. We can start with those.
Well, what product that we produce in Huerfano County, in Los Alamos County, in Union County, in Colfax County is beef. It's already here. And we do a really good job at that. I mean, it's sought over all over the nation. They want to make heifers. They want our heifers. I mean, they want to make cows out of our heifers. And I don't know, there's got to be a way that we can capitalize on our premier product that we have right here in Los Alamos.
We have to create the region, like the Cognac region in France or something like that.
Your point, I really appreciate the point that you said we have to look at it from up here. This region is the ethereal perspective of who we could be.
Right.
Because, you know, many years ago, we had a meeting with the governor of New Mexico and the governor of Colorado, and they were arguing about, we couldn't bring them together on a bowl of chili. Whose chili was the best? And I said, you know, when we get down to that difference, we can't even find a common sense good. And we provided, we can go to Raton, we can go to Trinidad, we can go to the top of the pass and have the chili cook up there, right? Let's find it. And I'm saying this in a very congenial perspective, but they forget that Coloradans and New Mexicans live in this part of the United States of America. So I really like this, and I cannot, at this point in time, absolutely, I would like to personally, we'll have this conversation, but absolutely. As an ambassador, we love to say, absolutely, sell Los Alamos County any which way that you can, because we do the same thing, but give us a few more weeks to get this water issue, to get these internal things, but absolutely. You know, we had a company that came from, I think they were from Houston a few years back, and they were looking at this, what were they called? The energy storage units for capacitors.
Capacitors.
They were looking at that. We attended this meeting, and they were so excited about Los Alamos County, the airport. And so I hope we still have their information. I hope they're still hopeful to open up. And we told them, we're looking at this opportunity here. They wanted to create those capacitors here in Los Angeles County. Now we're talking about transporting energy. You can store it there and you can transport it. Now we're looking at an expense, but having an airport makes it that much easier, even if the capacitors are going to be shipped out some other place. Now you have manufacturing right on site. So, I mean, opportunity there. I can't speak for my fellow commissioners, but I think we need ambassadors for the county for these good initiatives that you're speaking of.
On April 16th, Martin Campus is holding an event with Startup Colorado, which is also funded by OEDIT, or partially funded. And they are having an open house workshop for anyone in the community. I would encourage all of our business owners and entrepreneurs to attend, where they're presenting various funding opportunities throughout this, from venture capital, other funding mechanisms throughout the state.
Is that going to be an opening?
Sorry?
Where at?
Space to create.
It will be a space. At what time?
5:30.
You know, this is exactly what we as elected officials look forward to, because we're promoting our county any which way that we know how. The investment is what gets in the way sometimes, you know. But having that parcel of property up there, it gives us that much more leverage to say, you know, we can, maybe we could. And as Mr. Dorenkamp talks about this, the commercial sewer systems that need to be had, well, maybe, you know, I don't think the county has the capital to do the investment on behalf of, but we have the facilities to provide the sales tax, the you name it, the revenue for, and then if they can employ FTEs from the local community, that is a win-win for everyone. Yep.
And I would like you to think about that low-hanging fruit, you know, beef production that we have. It's there. It's ripe for the picking, a processing plant out there or whatever. You and I have bantered this back and forth, yeah. But I think it's conceivable now. Water is going to be an issue, and sanitation, of course, getting rid of the waste.
How could they meet this crop? When I mentioned before, Europe, France, really good at basically branding their product, you know, champagne, cognac, and manana, to close the region and to give it a specific name, like Kobe or whatever. Give it the name, diversify it in a way that is different. I'm not an expert in the field, but just even if nobody else thinks it's real, if we start promoting it after some time, it's going to become real.
Fisher,
so how do you give it like a special?
Well, so when Frank Bloom and Mr. Baca came and settled this area initially, they made their living with cattle.
Sure.
And they brought the cattle up from Texas to this short grass prairie. That is the actual name of this area and the type of prairie that we have. And the gramma grass and the western wheat.
Yep.
So it's, and it that encompasses northern Mexico as well.
Sure.
Basically. That's what I mean.
You know, and if we're not, if we're not, last week or the week before, I testified on a bill where there is now a conversation that Colorado is going to be shelving cell-produced meat, laboratory meat. And so on this particular bill, Representative Winter introduced a piece of legislation that we are asking if or when that beef arrives, we want it to be labeled. We want to make sure that his beef has the same competitive advantages, because if I were to go to the grocery store and it looked the same, but that other one is going to be just a tad less expensive.
That's
so,
why it'd be good to locally market our beef, though, right here, because then you bypass all of that.
Yeah,
we have our locally marketed beef and port to plains, and I just, it to me, it's I'm getting out of the business. I'm getting too old to do what I used to do, and but I would like to see this, you know, for our grandchildren, the future of our grandchildren.
Well, whenever anybody wants to talk about beef, I can have a very long conversation about it. I have researched a lot and have ideas.
This has been my dream for years to do that. For 25 years, I think we had a meeting down here at the college, and we promoted it to the Secretary of Ag, and Bill Sack was here. Yeah.
Well, what a great opening conversation, and we will stay connected. And I think the answer to your question, we owe that to you. Can we, I don't know if we need to have an official vote, but can we, and of course on our work session we won't, but definitely let us carry the conversation, but definitely we can use any and all messengers, because this is a goodwill initiative on behalf of all residents of Los Angeles County. But as far as promoting the county, as soon as we get our approvals on what we said on the water and whatever we need to do infrastructurally, the airport to me is a jewel that has been forgotten. We need to shine that jewel and let it shine, because it can. We continue to make investments up there, and but the county, respectfully, we have no business managing an airport because it's just we don't have the time nor the expertise. So this operator came in there and he's like, our eyes were open, you know, only if I were 40 years old, right? That's kind of the question. But I think from the perspective that we're at, opportunities, the commissioner has brings this very good point. I do have two cow-calf producers, one on each of my sides, that actually could and take advantage of this. But if you put it all together, those $42 million of beef that this county produces is probably 50.
Well, I bet it's closer to 8 now. See? They've doubled in price since I made the initial pitch, 25 years ago, Linda, were there.
Yeah. I think so. Any more questions for us?
Not to put words in anybody's mouth, but I think she's also looking at trying to, and we do as a community need to diversify because there's ebbs and flows. You even talked about, move off a bit of a tangent, you talked about the renewables and everything else. And they do provide short-term employment and stuff, but it's at the expense of our methane gas fields that we're going this direction. So as we may be gaining some ground here with economic development, we're losing a whole lot of ground over here and a whole lot of tax base, so potential tax base, especially by the year 2040, because my understanding is they're even going to eliminate gas-fired power plants by that time. I don't know.
I wonder if there's articles
even where the utility companies are saying, we can't do this. We can't do this without some other type of fossil fuel backup. They prefer natural gas because it's a clean burning fuel to generate the type of electricity that's going to be generated. But again, just diversification, and you guys know that, I don't have to tell you.
It's all of that and more. It's data on the radio, cleaning it up, packaging it in a way that it becomes more appealing. Figuring out what kind of resources can be leveraged 5-10 years and then slowly transition. Creating those small companies up to 50 employees that could be innovative and stable. Integrating the college even more into it. It's just, we are faced with the most complex, wicked problems that exist because it's not one thing, it's like 20 things hitting at it at once. And just untangle it and understanding them and trying to give them certain levels of immediacy and impact, and then just balancing it out and managing to create a pathway forward. These things we have to address in these 3 years because these are the most crucial and create the most damage, and then going from there. And we fully agree, we are just currently trying to gather as much data as possible to really get
so we can understand the full scope of what is possible and our biggest challenges. And like then, you were saying about economic development, you know, there's a number of ways you can measure that. Full-time employees, tax revenues, diversification of the economy. Now, it's not, economic development isn't just one thing either. There are going to be probably times in, you know, over a 10-year period where one of them takes precedence over the others. And how do you make decisions about what comes first? And some of them are going to come together, but, you know, it's not simple.
And while we're doing all this, we also have to live within the new rules and regulations that are being implemented at the State House and also trying to anticipate what's going to be coming down the pipe, Patterson. So, yeah.
You know, what I think to me is I was at a round table a few months back, and it was pretty alarming. One of the state demographer, the statistics that they gave about the average age of our county and where from the county. This is, we're pretty ripe.
Yeah.
We're I think the average, and I...
We're pretty ripe. That sounded bad. Pretty ripe. And the type of strain in the healthcare system that
If now we are 60 plus, when in 10 years they're going to be 70 plus, the type of healthcare strain that that's going to create
so
tsunamis.
And without the opportunity for our offspring to come back.
Yeah.
This is, you know, I have a family that moved away because of employment. They couldn't find what, and I'm sure we have it here, and he'll never let me leave that down.
I'm going to say, yeah, you're pretty right.
but the thing is, that alone, the population demographic is so important. We need to address it for the future generation.
Well, retaining our younger generation or creating reasons for new people to come.
Yeah.
And it has to also, a lot depends on our schools. Our schools need to be strong. And because without a good school system, good families are not going to relocate.
And we've, and I hate to be biased, we've had this conversation for 30 years. And the one stable economy that keeps this county afloat, and I agree with you, we need to diversify, is our cattle production. It's always here to prop this community up. When everything else goes boom or bust, whether it's coal or gas or whatever, our community bolsters
the community. And you're the first one to point it up. There's a target on ag, too.
There is.
And
I'm saying, you're right, that ag base foundation to our county's economy has been a bedrock.
Yeah.
But it's that industry is also aging out.
It is.
And as the families don't have family members coming back, choosing that lifestyle and taking that forward, then it's sold to an absentee landowner and you hollow out our community.
And agritourism and
so,
hunting.
You know, we've got issues there too.
Yeah.
And it's hard.
But if we can incentivize it in some way, like with this market branding that we were talking about.
I mean, Christine, if anybody wants to name your beef cartoon. No, what's the name?
Short grass prairie
beef.
If you need the branding expert, there she is. And I think
mine is Fisher Peak Beef.
And that's the thing. It should at least want some sort of consortium where people would come together and write the brand under the same name.
Well,
so
and
it's
that's
not
why,
that
quality. I like
that's why
I
chose that name rather than Loudoun Cattle Company, because my vision was that it's going to start small and we'll have other producers sell under that brand name, and it's a generic name for this region.
I like that.
Rocky Ford Mountains.
Yeah. Yeah,
that,
I like it. I like
that.
It.
And so I deliberately, that was the method of why I chose that.
I don't have a question of this topic, but I'm just curious because if I don't understand something, I ask questions until I try to. So we had a meeting with the city, and we were talking about the houses that are dilapidated and falling apart and becoming magic. And they are basically, they said, we cannot do anything about it, that the county would have to take it from the owner. And basically, we don't understand how does that process actually work if somebody has a house that they didn't touch for 10 years, and it's definitely a safety hazard. Nobody paid taxes on it. What can happen with that house, and how does that process actually look like, and can we create something that would be streamlined to the county and the city?
Can I tell you who to contact?
Yes, please.
Kevin Klein. So he's the city manager for
Lahana.
Lahana, please contact him and see what he's been able to do, because he did a presentation at Action Colorado.
Yep.
2 years ago, and the city, I can't remember we were all there. I can't remember how they acquired those homes. Can you remember?
I think the gentleman's name is Rick Klein.
Rick Klein, I'm sorry. Rick Klein.
And the way they were able to do it is they were able to, they actually got some funding to help them do this. They were able to go ahead and condemn the house because it was dilapidated.
It was ARPA funds, correct?
Pardon me?
ARPA funds.
Not only ARPA funds, but they were able to go in and do a Brownsfield investigation. And because most of these houses are of the age where there's some type of hazardous material, lead, asbestos, or all the above. And so we're able to get funding from the EPA, the Brownsfield, to help one, identify those hazards, and then two, help clean them up. And while they were cleaning them up, they just demolished the house and acquired the properties. It wasn't real advantageous to the property owner. I mean, a lot of the property owners raised all kinds of cane with them. But check with Mr. Klein there in Lahana. They had a system that they were using to get that done.
Because we would really like to create here like archetypal collaboration committee to push some of that forward to address, because that would be beneficial. Maybe it's less of a hot potato than the homeless people currently. And I think I have a suggestion. Like, just put them in the parking lot, private police station, and put the cabinetry there, and that solved a lot of it.
Yeah.
But anyway, if that's possible, also to understand what kind of authority do the commissioners have in you as agents, and what kind of authority does the city have, and then to figure out how to put all of that together to really move forward, because they say, oh, we are blocked, we cannot do anything. And just to understand who can pull which levers and how can we streamline and start with maybe one house, and we can maybe create like a...
Clean up the city.
And maybe
make
we can create
a really beautiful place to live and eliminate housing for raccoons. And
other houses that burned out twice.
Other people that shouldn't be in those houses.
You know, and that is going to be a to-do list for us.
Check if I may interrupt. Check with the treasurer too, if the it's because of tax is not being paid.
You know what? Why they're trying to say the county? I understand the property tax, but.
We'll do some research to see if even tax, whatever. But nonetheless, great idea. You know what? When he did that presentation, when he was done, I mean, you couldn't touch him because everybody wanted to ask him, hey, show me, tell me how.
Yeah.
And so the commissioner has, I think, we'll reach out to him.
And I just forwarded his information to you, to both of them.
Yeah.
I don't know, let's say Iowa. What it did with the Citibank, where basically the city people pulled together, they bought those properties and gave it as an option to young families who were not yet in the state. So it's also a way to fight gentrification if it's done right. Not big real estate developer, but local systems could take it over, and then you give it to that family and say, okay, you have to pay some minimum money to come in, and then you have 5 years to clean it up to these standards. If you do that, the house is yours. So it would be a way how to incentivize it. There would be some forgiveness between the city and the county about missed tax or whatever that would be. Just that the property gets opened up to redevelopment. Because probably if something is sitting for too long, there's too much liens on top of it. I don't understand the process. I'm just opening it up. But if it would be a way that those properties could be opened up to young families, could rehabilitate it, and then keep it as their own home because they would put sweat equity inside. That would solve a few problems at the same time.
Why? Absolutely. In gentrification, you see that in the big cities. It's happening all over the United States. And for some, it's dislocation. For others, it's opportunity. It just depends on what perspective we look at it. But you know, for the most part, is.
And great. I really support this idea that Yoja has just talked about, because it doesn't allow any restrictions on the property. Sometimes when there's low-income housing, there's restrictions that actually become a barrier within the system, barrier for who can afford, who makes
too
much
money.
And so this still allows the economy to breathe and grow in a natural way.
And now they're, I think, just for me, it's like I'm flabbergasted because they're now saying that there are new bills being done is low income housing, but it starts at $250,000. So yeah, it's like it doesn't go together. Even if you have a good average salary, you still have to put down $50,000, and you still have to pay a bigger chunk. So how can somebody who cannot? So
developments essentially there's no in the city, and you know of course it's great to have more homes which are needed here, but we need to be able to have the flexibility for people to come and go as their income and their families change.
Yeah, you know, the conversation at the statewide level, that's why this modular work has come in there, because we want to continue to use affordable, which is not real anymore.
It's a relative term.
It is a relative term. And so what we keep saying is, rather than saying affordable housing, is available housing. Because that, I mean, if you can afford it, there is a house for you. And if you cannot afford that, there is another house for you right here, right? And that is, but we're the regulations that we have stacked on top of each other.
Building codes, and the new regional building codes, and the new regional WUI codes.
You know, this. So in any event, I maybe, so we don't call it a meeting. I love to have a one-on-one coffee, invite individually each of us, so we can, because this conversation is, you were right in that. But we welcome this. I personally am excited because hopefully some happen. And instead of having agency A or agency B, not naming anyone, you are the right perspective coming from the educational side, inviting investors. You have the capital attraction. You walk him through the process. Here is the property. And we as a county, we'll have property to develop. We will have access. We have access to the interstate system. We have access to rail, and we have access to air. I mean, what else can we ask for? Absolutely. And then you have beef at the end of the day, right?
Not petri beef.
Anything else? Now, what for us, another, whatever you need, the door's always open. And we're one phone call away. Please reach out. And this is exciting.
Thank you.
And the current AG is helping. So he's kind of navigating that deep question that I had for you too.
Say that.
The current AG is actually
good.
Yeah, he's helping. So I'm going to jump that hurdle before I curl, let me tell you.
I think we should also think about value meal products as well. Well, to create that value add.
We have to defeat the programmatic misconception of a cell produce products, beef, chicken, whatever they're going to do.
It's a commodity product.
It is.
What is our unique standpoint and how can we uniquely add value?
Absolutely.
I think is where I would.
Yep. Yep. Commissioners, anything else? I mean, we want to say thank you. I mean, what a great conversation. This is the kind of meeting we need to have more often.
Yep. Thank you for allowing me.
No, thank you. Anyone else? Any other comments?
I hate to be the biased radical.
Well, commissioners, we don't have any other items on this agenda, so I'm going to entertain a motion to adjourn this work session on this beautiful April 1st, 2025.
So moved.
Second motion.
Commissioner Hess?
Yes.
Commissioner Sir?
Yes.
Commissioner Lopez?
Yes. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.